said that you won't forsake me, and you're right beside me, and that is all that matters. You'll never leave me. You said that you won't forsake me, and you're right beside me, and that is all that matters. You are the covenant keeping God. You are the covenant keeping God. Yahweh, the covenant keeping God.
For generation to generation,
to generation, to generation, to generation, to generation, to generation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, right there where you are. Lift those hands. Lift those hands. Come on, everyone where you are. Lift those hands and just begin to worship. Begin to worship God with your own mouth, with your own expression. Come on, tell him how wonderful he is, how great he is, how awesome he is, how magnificent he is. I'm telling you, you got to set your atmosphere. Whatever you are believing, whatever you're in need of, come on, create the atmosphere. Open up your mouth and begin to bless him. Begin to honor him. Begin to worship him. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of our praise. He's been good. Hallelujah. Come on. Bless his name. Come on. Take a moment right now and just begin to express thanksgiving. The Bible declares, in all things, give thanks the will of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, God placed you in Christ. And because he placed you in Christ, he wants you to offer him adoration and praise because he has been absolutely wonderful. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, take a minute. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, people of God, again, it is so great to be with you again. Hallelujah. For Truth That Transforms. Welcome, everyone, to Truth That Now Transforms Lives. Again, this is the time where the transformation of your life is predicated on the truth that you receive for your life. And I'm telling you tonight, you are going to get truth from the Word of God. I'm telling you, the guest speaker tonight is no other than the wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn how to unwrap man from their flesh so you can receive from the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that ministers to you. He is the one that deserves all your attention. He is the one that deserves all your adoration and praise. How many know that the Holy Spirit, he is God, as the Father is God and the Son is God, so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just as much as God as the Father and the Son, and he deserves your praise and worship and adoration. Hallelujah. He is the one that Jesus placed on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So you and I can live a victorious life. And again, I want to say it again. Welcome to Truth That Transform Lives. Amen. Again, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain. And the Bible says he was transfigured before them. And I always want to let you know, people of God, that the more you behold his transfiguration, that becomes your transformation. I'm telling you, if you are looking for change, if you're looking for something to shift in your life, keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes focused on the prize. Keep your eyes focused on the one and only Jesus Christ, the living God. I'm telling you, we don't serve a dead Jesus. We serve a live Jesus, and he is alive today, and I am so grateful for everyone. Listen, I want to take a moment real quick just to begin to thank everyone for being on this time of ministry. And I just want to let you know, as a prophetic voice, I don't take it for granted. Your time means so much to me, and I want to thank the man of God, Pastor E. I want to let you know, man of God, I love you, and I want to thank God for you, man of God, and allowing this platform to be set for God's people to be built up, encouraged, and finally get some good news. You know, when you look at all the things that's going on in the world, nothing but bad news. You cut on CBN News, you look at what's going on in the world, nothing but bad news. There are some times that you need to get some good news, and I'm telling you, God has appointed that time now for you to get good news, and the good news is coming to you today. So let's pray, And let's get right into it. Amen. So again, I want to let you know, get your Bibles, get your notepad, and put your seatbelt on. Amen. Because we're going for a journey. We're going for a ride. Amen. Every time I come on here, I'm coming locked. But I want you to be prepared to receive. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you for your precious people. Lord, they are your inheritance. They are your people. And God, they did not come to hear me. They come to hear from you tonight. And I declare, as always, they will not be disappointed because they are looking to you. And I pray, God, tonight that wisdom would be their portion. I pray tonight that the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge would be there. I ask that the eyes be opened, that they may see truth tonight as it is unveiled and disclosed by the Spirit. Lord, you said in Amos chapter 3 that God, you do nothing in the earth unless you first reveal it to your servants the prophets. And the reason why you do nothing except by the prophet is because you will do nothing in the earth except you do it by your word. And the prophet's responsibility is to declare the word of God. And so tonight I pray that I will be that instrument that you would use tonight. Hide me behind the cross and speak through me tonight. I thank you and I praise you. And I bless every hearer tonight. I ask that they're, not only you will circumcise their heart, but circumcise their ears. Let them hear your voice. For we are your sheep, and we know your voice. And the voice of strangers, we will not follow. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, people of God, listen, it's good, again, to be back with you. I'm always excited to be connected to men and women of God who are hungry. I tell you, whenever you get on this platform, you got to come to the table hungry, because the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you come hungry, you will leave filled. Hallelujah. That is the word of God. Now, as always, men and women of God, as a prophet, my responsibility is to declare not only the word of God, to you, but also the word of the Lord. That is my responsibility. As a prophetic voice, I'm supposed to bring you the word of the Lord. And I taught you this before, but it bears repeating. The word of God is what's clearly written. It's what's clearly written in the scripture. But the word of the Lord is what's clearly heard. The Bible declares, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Spirit speaks expressly at certain times to give God's people what's on his heart. And so the prophet's responsibility is not only to give you the word of God, but the word of the Lord. And so my responsibility is to do that, because I want to be able to get some sleep tonight because I obey God. So let me do that real quickly, and then we get right to the word of God. But right now I want you to invite somebody, get them on tonight, because it's going to be good tonight. Amen. All right. The word of the Lord is this. Pay us close attention. Amen. The Lord said to tell the people that they have crossed over the threshold. This is a time and a season of rededication and refocusing. Rededication and refocusing. In other words, this is the time to rededicate yourself to the purpose of God. This is the time to rededicate yourself to the assignment that God has given you. And to refocus. You know, there's so much stuff going on in your life, you know, trials, tribulations, situations, what's going on in the world. Those things can become a pivotal distraction. And so I believe that God says, I need you to get refocused again. Get refocused on what I've called you to do. Get refocused on my faith. You know, when Jesus came to Peter in the boat, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, permit me to come to you. And Jesus said one word, come. And the Bible says Peter stepped out and he began to walk on the water. Now, what you don't understand by Revelation, Peter wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word because Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out on the word. Amen. The water was just there, but Peter was walking on the word. The Bible says all things are upheld by the word of his power. So you got to walk on the word, baby boy. You got to walk on the word, baby girl. You got to get that word, and you got to step out on it and move in what God's called you to do. So this is a season of rededication and refocusing. The Lord will say to you, the greatest relief of my wisdom and discernment, my divine insight and understanding is now available to you in this new season. Stay alert. Because the enemy is doing all he can to distract and hinder you from stepping into this new realm, this new season, this new assignment. There's a new assignment. There's a new realm. It's time for you and I to upgrade. It's time for you and I to go higher. You've been down too low, people of God. It's time to raise up your expectation. It's time to raise the level of your faith. It's time for you to believe for bigger things. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you don't serve a small God. You serve a big God. You serve a God who said, I am able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can act or think according to the power that works on the inside. For the Lord will say, for this is a realm of which new strategies are shown to the seeker of my heart, revealed to those who are hungry for my wisdom, insight, and discernment and realignment. I'm telling you, people of God, this month, this season, there is another level of discernment, there is another level of insight, and there is another level of realignment. I'm going to say that again. There's a season of discernment. In other words, you're going to be able to discern the operations of God, not just what the devil is doing. Too many people are always verbalizing what the devil is doing. But we got to understand that Joker is already defeated. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. You better learn how to get Jesus in your mouth and declare what God is doing, not what the devil is doing. Yes, we know he did it, but you better remind him he is defeated. And so God is giving you discernment. He's giving you insight, and he is bringing you into realignment. This is the word of the Lord. And so I want you to rededicate yourself to the wisdom of God. I want you to dedicate yourself to realignment, and I want you to refocus on the assignment that God has given you. And so this is very important, and this is very critical in this very hour. Amen. That is the word of the Lord. All right, let's get to the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Open up your Bible. We're going to go to Daniel chapter number 6. And then after that, we'll go to Daniel chapter 7. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Tonight we are dealing with the kingdom of God, people of God. We are dealing with, listen, the kingdom of God system by which it operates and functions. Now, why is this important in this moment? Because, again, I have to constantly remind the people of God, in this hour, you and I can no longer just be church-minded. You and I must be kingdom-minded. You and I can no longer just be comfortable, complacent in church. We must now understand we have to have a kingdom mindset. And the kingdom mindset is you and I stepping out and doing what God called you to do in the marketplace. And the church is where you are to get equipped. If there's a man or woman of God church that you attend regularly, nothing's wrong with that. But I'm telling you, when you go to church, you are not just going to feel good. You're not just going to get a feel-good sermon. You are going to get equipped so you can go out in the world and make an impact. Hello, glory to God. All right, Daniel chapter 6. Man, I'm locked and loaded. Don't mess with me this evening. Amen. All right. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start at verse number 25. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. See, people of God, you got to come fired up for the Lord, I'm telling you. You got to get prayed up. You got to spend quality time with the Word so you can hear from God. Amen. All right, get your Bible on notepad. Let's go right into the Word of God. All right, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 25. The Bible declares in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and language that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Come on, you better receive that. Peace is being multiplied to you. Look at verse 26. I make a decree. Oh, I love that. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. See, you got to put your name there. Amen. You got to say, listen, let me put my name there, because I want you, when you read the Word of God, that it comes alive to you, that you put yourself in the Scripture. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of David. Hallelujah. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be forever unto the end. Let me read it one more time. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of David, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Now, go right over to Daniel chapter 7. Come on. Excuse me. Daniel chapter 7. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Woo! Now, the Son of Man has given dominion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 13 and 14. The Bible declared, excuse me, man, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. Verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be. Now, we see that twice. We just read that in Daniel chapter 6, and we see it again in Daniel chapter 7. Now, we know this is talking about Jesus. Jesus has an everlasting kingdom. But what I want you and I to understand is who we are. Because a lot of people know who God is in them, but they don't know who they are in him. And what you don't understand about one of the names of Jesus or one of the titles of Jesus, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does that mean, man of God? That means if Jesus is King of Kings, that means you and I are king. You and I are king. And remember, when God created Adam, he gave Adam what? Dominion. When Adam lost that dominion because of his disobedience, Jesus got that dominion back. And now he has given that dominion to you and I, the body of Christ, the church. And you and I cannot just have authority, but you must now function in that dominion. You must function in that authority. Why? Because you're a king. The Bible says we're kings and priests unto God. Time for the body of Christ to know who you are. Come on. You need to declare that. You need to write that down. I'm a king. Hallelujah. Amen. That means you got the final say so. That means you can decree some things. The Bible says you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. Let me read verse 14 one more time and let's move on. Amen. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The kingdom cannot be destroyed. The kingdom, come on, you better write that out. The kingdom cannot be destroyed. Now, if you study your Bible carefully, what you got to understand, the Bible says the kingdom does not come with outward observation. The kingdom of God is within you. The rule, the realm, the royalty of God. The kingdom of God is supposed to be functioning in the body, in the church, and you are the body of Christ. All right, let's go into the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing I want you to understand about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, write this down because it's very important. The kingdom of God is a government. Just like we have a government, hallelujah, the kingdom of God is a government. The kingdom of God is a government. And listen, every government has levels for which it functions. I'm going to say it again. Every kingdom is a government. And every government has levels for which it functions. Just like we have a natural government, there's natural, we have a natural government, okay, in the United States. And there are three levels that I want to talk about. I might not get to all of them, but I am going to get to this first one, okay? The kingdom of God is a government, and every government has level for which it functions. Pay attention. There is a legislative side of a government. There is an executive function or realm of the government, and there is a judicial function, realm of a government. I'm going to say it again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is a legislative side of the government, an executive, and a judicial. Legislative, executive, and judicial. Write that down. Legislative, executive, and judicial. One more time. Legislative, executive, and judicial. Glory to God. Let's deal with the legislative side of the government, okay? What is the legislative aspect of the kingdom or the government, okay? The legislative aspect of the kingdom is, number one, it establishes law. Write that down. The legislative aspect of the kingdom is one that establishes a law. Now, why is that the kingdom of God established law? Let's go somewhere. Stay with me. Now, because like any nation today, cannot function without law. Any nation today cannot function without law. And there are standards of conduct for the citizens of that kingdom. Therefore, here you go, without law, chaos and confusion become prevalent. Oh, God, stay with me. The Holy Ghost is speaking right now. Without a legislative law, hallelujah, chaos and confusion become prevalent. The reason why, listen, with all the stuff that's going on, there's laws out there being broken today. People are doing all kind of crazy stuff, burglary and robbery and all this stuff, and the laws are being broken, amen? And now there's confusion, there's chaos. And guess what? The answer is not in the government. Our government can't handle it. And this is why the necessity of the church is needed. Why? Because it doesn't matter who you put in office. Biden, Donald Trump, it doesn't matter who's running for office. The answer ain't coming from the government. The answer's not coming from that government. The answer is coming from this government, the kingdom of God. And, oh, God, help me, Holy Spirit. And until God's people understand that the kingdom of God is within them, the Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulder. That means the responsibility is on the body of Christ. Everything that's going on in this crazy world, in the world, the Bible says this is the season of gross darkness. Gross darkness has hit this planet. Gross darkness is functioning in the earth. And the problem with the body of Christ, we are going about our busy church regular routine, just having church and hallelujah, praise the Lord, bless me, Lord, supply my need and everything, but you are ineffective in the world. And God didn't create you just so you could be complacent and comfortable in church. He put his spirit on the inside of you so you can go out and bring change to a world that's in chaos and confusion. Now, how do we do that? Let's take a side step real quick, okay? Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. Come on, I want you to understand, the world is what? It's in chaos and confusion. Hallelujah. But there's answers. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Look at this. Here we go. Look. What did I just say? Without laws, the world is in chaos and confusion. And because chaos and confusion is prevalent in our nation today, there's thievery. There's this thing that's going on right now, snatching and grabbing. People don't care about no law. They going in, people feel like they're trying to survive. We got to go in and rob and steal and take whatever we want. People don't care about no law. And the answer, the police don't have the answer. The government don't have the answer. The mayor doesn't have the answer. But I tell you, the government of the kingdom of God, we got the answer. And the answer's on the inside of you. So chaos and confusion, don't forget those words. Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Stay with me, people of God. This is rich stuff. This is good manna. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In other words, there was chaos and confusion. Okay? Look at that. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. In other words, even though there was chaos and confusion, during creation, the Spirit of God was present. But even though the Spirit of God was present, he could not do nothing. The Holy Spirit was present, but could not do nothing. Why? Here, look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In other words, the Holy Spirit was present, but could not do nothing until the word was spoken. Could not do nothing until the word was spoken. Until the word was spoken. I need you to get that. Nothing changes until the word is spoken. And people of God, in this economy, in this world, all the crazy stuff that's happening in the world, even though the Spirit of God is present, even though God intends to change situations, it's not going to change until the word is spoken. And what you and I don't understand, Jesus already did what he was going to do. He has now given that authority, that dominion to his body, the church. So God is now waiting for you to speak. The word must now come out of your mouth. But the word cannot be spoken until it is first impregnated in you. In other words, the purpose of the enemy, Satan's plan, is to keep you out of the word. Why? To keep you empty so you don't have no word in you to speak to bring change to your city, your community, your nation. If the enemy can keep you out of your Bible, if he can keep you from studying the word, meditating on the word. Why? What did we talk about? It's time to rededicate ourselves and refocus. Rededicate ourselves to the word and refocus back on the word. Why? It's time for you to get filled. It's time for you to get filled. We got too many empty believers walking around. And they walk around with confusion and chaos and fear and defeated and the devil whooping them one side up and another down. The devil is a liar. No, God's church is supposed to be victorious. God's church is supposed to be overcoming. He who overcomes. If you read the book of Revelation, God said it's to him that overcomes. The promise is to those who overcome. Not those who just attend church. It's those who overcome. What have you overcome, Lassiter? Let me ask everyone a question on here. What is the last thing you overcame? Have you overcome lack? Have you overcome debt? Have you overcome sickness and disease? What's coming against you that you need to overcome? Glory be to God. And you cannot overcome it until you got some word in you. Hey, glory to God. You got to have some word in you. All right, let's go further. You got to have some word. Come on. I want you to say it to yourself. I got to have some word in me. Hallelujah. So whatever distracted me from the word, whatever's distracted me from my Bible, I got to get back to the word. Yes, I got to go to work. I got plans and things I got to do, but I can't let nothing stop me from getting in the word. Now, here you go. The government is responsible for enforcing the laws of the kingdom. The government is responsible for enforcing the laws of the kingdom. The government is responsible for enforcing laws of the kingdom, which is, let me tell you what they are. Number one, write this down, the protection of the kingdom. The protection of the kingdom. This is one of the laws that has to be enforced. The protection of the kingdom. What is the protection of the kingdom? How do we protect the kingdom? I'm glad you asked. The protection of the kingdom has to do with prayer and intercession. Write it down. Get it in your note. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your mind. In order to protect the kingdom, you must be a man of prayer and intercession. And notice I said prayer and intercession, not just prayer. Because a lot of times you and I have become so selfish with our prayer. We're praying for our four no more. See, intercession has to do with somebody else other than yourself. When is the last time you fasted for somebody else? When last time you turned the plate over for somebody else? When is the last time you had a shut-in and not just pray for your needs? When is the last time you prayed for somebody else's needs? When is the last time you prayed for your city? When is the last time you prayed for your nation? When is the last time that you even prayed for your enemy? We're good at gossiping. We're good at talking about them. But are we good at praying for them? I'm telling you how the kingdom operates. If you want to see change in your nation, if you want to see change in your city, you're going to have to enforce the law of the kingdom through prayer and intercession. What does that mean, man of God? Let me go deeper. Here we go. You and I, hear this. You and I are going to birth everything you have labored for in your last season of travailing in prayer. Oh, I'm going to let that sink in. Come on. Listen, your mind is being renewed by the word today. Come on now. Hallelujah. You and I are going to give birth to everything you labor for in your last season of traveling in prayer. Where's that in the word? Let's go to Isaiah 56, verse 7. Let me give you some word. Hallelujah. I'm a man of the word. I got to give you chapter and verse. Isaiah 56, verse 7. Hey, glory. Isaiah 56 and verse 7. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Man, y'all, excuse me, I'm excited. Y'all better get excited. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. All right. Let me say it again. Let me say it again for those that needs to hear it again. You and I are going to give birth to everything you labor for in your last season of travailing in prayer if you was not distracted during that time and season. Isaiah 56, verse 7. Look what it says. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my what? House of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. For my house shall be called the house of prayer. God's house must first of all become a house of prayer. Your church, oh, people of God, you got a lot of churches that preach in, they got Bible studies there. You don't have a lot of churches that pray. But I'm telling you, in this season, you better make your house, you better make your church a house of prayer. Amen. I don't care. Some of you, listen, I'm going to speak prophetically, and I'm going to say what the Holy Spirit told me to say. Some of you, on a Sunday, instead of preaching, you need to bring the people of God on a Sunday and say, ain't no preaching or teaching going on. We're going to get on our faith. We're going to pray today. We're going to pray on a Sunday. Yes, we got Wednesday or Thursday prayer. When is the last time you had prayer on a Sunday? Hello? I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I'm telling you, if you have one Sunday, and I'm encouraging preachers to do this, have one Sunday, on a Sunday, bring the people of God to pray. And after that Sunday, watch the following Sunday when you get ready to preach. Watch the level of power come up out of you. Watch signs and wonders break out. Watch miracles. Watch prosperity hit your church. Watch people begin to flock your church. I'm prophesying. Hey, glory to God. I'm telling you, if you would take one Sunday out of a month and don't preach on that Sunday, but pray the whole time and watch the following week, watch the power of God show up. Watch the glory of God show up. Watch the Shekinah glory begin to rearrange. Watch people instantly be healed and delivered. Watch healing flow. Watch people who are dealing with sickness in your church no longer be sick. The healing power will touch them. Watch people who are broke one week, the next week they're prosperous. Hey, glory to God. I'm telling you, people of God, this is the word of God I'm giving you this night. And you and I got to make a conscious decision that we're going to be men and women of prayer. We're going to have to pray. And I'm encouraging you. Yes, I'm even asking you, Pastor E, I challenge you to have one Sunday of prayer in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's go forward. Isaiah 56, verse 7, look what it says again. Even then what I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offering, their sacrifice shall be accepted. I'm telling you, when you make your house a house of prayer, I'm telling you, your offerings and your sacrifices will be accepted on God's altar. Every sacrifice, everything you do for the glory and the kingdom of God, it will be accepted by Jehovah. Hear me and hear me well. God is going to accept sacrifices and offerings of men and women of prayer. Not just men and women of God who are eloquent in preaching. But if you turn your house into a house of prayer, there will be a Shekinah glory that show up. And I'm telling you, men and women of God, your life will never be the same. Because God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So in this passage, there are five basic characteristics of a true house of God. There are five basic characteristics of a true house of God according to Isaiah 56, verse 7. Number one, it must be a house of prayer. Number two, it must be a house of offering. What do you mean a house of offering? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Let's go there real quickly. I'm coming back there, but I got to give you chapter and verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Don't take my word. Take what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Everybody say a house of offering. A house of offering. Hallelujah. Look what it says. 1 Peter verse 2, verse 5 says this. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let me read it again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Number one, it must be a house of prayer. Number two, a house of offering. What is that? 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also are living stones that built a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. Remember, you're a king and a priest to offer up. This is your responsibility to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to accept your spiritual sacrifice. So number one, it must be a house of prayer. Number two, a house of offering. Number three, a house of sacrifice. Number four, a house with a functioning altar. A house with functioning altar. And number five, here goes, a house for all people. It must be a house for all people. In other words, you can't discriminate who comes to the house. We got too many preachers discriminate people who can come to the house. People come to your house and you got reserved seats in the front. This ain't no movie theater. Ain't no reserve in the house. Ain't no reserving seats in God's house. You better sit wherever you want. Hello? Yeah, religious people don't want to hear this, but it's the gospel. It's the word. God's house is a house for all people. It ain't no, I'm only got the leaders here. No, we're all leaders in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't have to be a pastor, prophet, preacher, none of that, to be a leader in the kingdom of God. Why? I lead by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I lead my community. I lead on my job. Hey, glory to God. Where are you leading? Hallelujah. Too many people are leading in the church, but they're not leading in their community. They're not leading on their job. They're not leading in the marketplace. Where are you leading, people of God? Hello? So it must be a house for all people. So, number two, let's go further. I'm almost done, people of God. The word is good. Hallelujah. Number two, the structure of the kingdom. The second part of the government is the structure of the kingdom. What is the structure of the kingdom? It is the economy. The structure of the kingdom is the economy, which is prosperity. The economy has to do with prosperity. Now, what do you mean about prosperity? You ready for this? The structure of the kingdom is how is the kingdom structured? It is directly connected to the prosperity of the citizens of the kingdom, which means this. If you don't prosper in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God will not have a greater impact in the world by way of influence that brings favor. Listen. Poverty, listen to this, people. God, I need you to hear what the Lord told me. Poverty decreases your ability to have influence with people. I'm going to say it again. Poverty decreases your ability to have influence with people. God wants you to prosper in the kingdom of God. He wants your economy. God don't want no broke people in this kingdom. No. How do we know that? Look what God told Abram. God told Abram, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. Now, in order for the kingdom of God to be a kingdom that prospers, you cannot just be blessed. You must have the intention of being a blessing. And that's what I love about Pastor E's ministry. His ministry is a ministry that gives. His ministry is always giving. His ministry is always feeding people, helping people, giving out resources. Whatever he has, he's giving. And that's why his ministry will prosper. God wants his people to prosper. And I'm telling you, Pastor E, God, you ain't seen nothing yet. God is about to bless you. God is about to bless you. Because listen, man of God, let me prophesy over you, Pastor E. God, you have made major sacrifices. And the Lord will say to you, I'm speaking prophetically, God's hand is going to move in a mighty way in your ministry over the next 90 days because you are a giver. You have made sacrifices. You have done so much for the kingdom of God. And God says, now I'm about to upgrade the ministry. I'm about to upgrade the people. And every person, listen, I'm prophesying, every person in your ministry is going to prosper. Lack is going to leave their house for good, and prosperity is going to invade their life. Mark my words. Why? Because the gospel that you are preaching, the word that you are preaching every week to your people, it's the word of God. It's letting people know that they can live beyond where they're at now. Their mindset can shift. Things can change. Why? Because God is structuring his kingdom. He's structuring the government. He's structuring the body of Christ. Why? He's preparing us for his coming. He's preparing us for his coming. He's preparing us for his coming. The Bible says he's coming back for a church that's made themselves ready. He's not coming back for a weak, broke, wimpy church. No! He's coming back for a strong, victorious, glorious church, and that's you and I. And so whatever you got to sacrifice, whatever changes you got to make adjustment, whatever adjustment you got to make to get prepared for the coming of the Lord. And one of the ways you got to get prepared, people of God, is you and I must be about the Father's business. Let me prophesy. In this hour, God is placing upon you today, this night, an anointing that will cause people that don't know God to favor you. And when your favor increases, so will your influence. When your favor increases, your influence will increase. When your favor increases, so will your influence. I prophesy that there are men and women of God, your influence is about to shift. I said, you're about to have influence with millionaires. You're about to have influence with mayors and lawyers. They're, oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there's doors about to open up. There's doors about to swing open. And I'm telling you, you're going to walk into doors that I'm telling you, businesses, I'm telling you, people who already said they're going to trust you. You take over this business. I'm talking about witty ideas and concepts about to come to the people of God. Hallelujah. You and I are going to have a greater influence because God is increasing his favor on your life. How do we know this? You remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Glory to God. They came out of Egypt. God had actually told the children of Israel, what I want you to do, Israel, I want you to go ask the Egyptian. I want you to go ask your enemy for their silver and their gold. And I want you to dress your kids in what they have. And the Bible says when they ask the children the Egyptians for silver and gold. The Bible says, and the Lord gave the people favor. To the point, guess what they did? Hear this. They actually bankrupt Egypt. Glory to God. Now, why did God tell them to ask the children of Israel for the silver and gold? Why? Because God wanted them to build a tabernacle so he can come and dwell with them, so he can come and be with them. Why? Because silver and gold can never take the place of the presence of God. So God said, I want you to go ask Egypt for their silver and gold, and I'm going to use you to bankrupt Egypt, and I'm going to take that silver and gold, and I'm going to have you, the priest, to actually build the tabernacle so I can come down and I can show my glory and I can reveal who I am. Because God's purpose is to be with his people. See, people got what you got to understand. God don't mind you having money. He just don't want money to have you. The Bible actually is very clear. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But what you don't understand, it takes finances. It takes money to finance the kingdom of God. Just because you got these, some of these little fake preachers out there pimping the church, that doesn't mean that has to be you. God will deal with them. That don't mean you stop your giving because the preacher down the street is constantly asking for money and he's not using for the kingdom purpose. He's trying to build this big old mansion. No, no, no. You still sow into the kingdom. Because people got what you don't understand is when you give to the kingdom of God, you're not sowing to a church. You're not sowing to a preacher. You're sowing into the kingdom of God. And you're sowing to Jesus. And the Bible says there he receives. Don't you understand? When you give your tithe and offering, Jesus actually receives it. Jesus actually received your tithe and offering. And what you don't understand, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, old covenant as well, but it says this. He says, you have robbed me in what? Tithe and offering. And so let me give you some revelation on the tithe and offering. This is for free. You don't have to pay for this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The tithe does not increase you. But the tithe, that whenever you pay your tithe, it protects your finances. The offering is what increases your finances. What you don't understand, the tithe belongs to God. That's holy. It's separate. It belongs to him. And if you study your Bible carefully in the book of Leviticus, it actually goes to the priest. But your offering is what increases. So every time you give over and above your tithe, you are asking God to increase you. Now, I'm not teaching on tithe and offering tonight, but I have to throw that in because, again, if you are going to be prosper the kingdom of God, you got to understand the kingdom must be financed, and God has to prosper you in order for the kingdom to be prospered. The church don't want to be around. People in the world don't want to come to a church that's broke. I don't want to be in a church that's broke. No, not me. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Hallelujah. I'm preaching pretty good now. Come on now. This is nothing but the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what will bring a greater harvest of souls. How do we know that? Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Oh, man, I'm giving you Bible tonight. Blessed be the Lord. Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Look what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Here we go. How many know this? God is after souls, a harvest of souls. Everybody say a harvest of souls. Here we go. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, starting at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven, now, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God interchangeable, we'll get to that at another time. For the kingdom of God is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Standing idle in the marketplace. The problem with most people in the body of Christ, we're standing idle in the marketplace. No, you can't be standing idle in the marketplace. You better be making an impact in the marketplace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Verse number 4. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again, he went about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why are you standing here all day idle? They said unto him, because no man has what? Hired us. No man has hired us. That's a revelation in itself. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall you receive. They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. Well, hold on. Verse 8. So when evening comes, the Lord of the harvest said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. The last unto the first. The Bible says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. So what I want to let you know right now, when God bless you, you might think you're last on the list. But, oh, I'm telling you, God's going to bring you to the front. God's about to favor you. He's about to bless you. Why? Because you haven't been idle in the marketplace. You made up your mind that you're going to move expediently according to the kingdom of God and have the kingdom of God in operation. John chapter 4, verse 38. Let's go there. I'm almost done, people. God, stay with me. John chapter 4 and verse 38. Hallelujah. Let's get there. Hallelujah. Man, this is good stuff. You don't want to miss this. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 36. Verse 36. And he that reapeth receive wages and gather fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He that soweth and he that reapeth are going to rejoice together. I'm telling you, time to rejoice. Hallelujah. Verse 37. And here is that saying true. One soweth and another reap. I sent you to reap that when you bestow no labor, other men labor and you are enter into their labor. Oh, people of God, you ought to lift your hands up to I'm telling you, the Bible, oh, you are about to enter into other people's labor. The rich people that are out there working to become rich, you about to get their harvest. They either get saved or what's in their bank account is coming into yours. How do we know that? The Bible says it. The Bible says the treasures of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. But I'm telling you, it's no longer laid up. It's about to hit your bank account. It's about to hit your life. Why? Because you made the kingdom first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. If you put the kingdom of God as a priority, God will make your life a priority. Oh, people of God, if you put the kingdom of God as a priority, he will make your life a priority. One more scripture, and I'm going to close. I got to pray for you because I feel the anointing of God upon me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 3, verse 22. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, God had instructed them to put a demand on Egyptian for their servant God. I told you that. Go to Deuteronomy 8:18, and I'm going to close with this, and I'll pick this up next time we come together because there's so much on the kingdom of God, people of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me get to it real quickly. Jesus, help me, Lord. Let me find it in my other Bible. Hold on. Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18. Look what he says, people of God. Pay attention to the word. Here go. Let me start at verse 16 because I want to read it so you can have understanding of what Moses is speaking here. This is when the children of Israel were complaining that there was no water when they were in the wilderness. Okay, now I'm going to start at verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, that he might prove you to be good at the latter end. Verse 17. And you say in your heart, my power and might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Verse 18. But you shall remember. But you shall remember. The word remember in the regional language means to mark out a place for. It doesn't mean remember as a mental remembrance. It has to do with mark out a place for God. Mark out a place for God. Mark out a place for God. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that give you power to get wealth. He give you power. God didn't say he's going to give you wealth. He said, I'm going to give you power to get wealth. In other words, he's going to give you favor. He's going to give you connection. He's going to give you influence. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who give you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. You prospering in the kingdom of God is a covenant matter. I'm going to say that again. You prospering in the kingdom of God is a covenant matter. Look what it says. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that give you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto your father, as is this day. As it is this day. Not next week, as it is this day. Not as it was in the old covenant, as it is this day. This day, you're about to prosper. This day, you're about to overcome. This day, you're about to rise above every circumstance and situation. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. I declare your kingdom come and your will be done in their life. In the name of Jesus, I shake off every area, every stronghold, every lack, every area of poverty, every area, Father, where they don't have revelation knowledge. I pray that you would give them clarity, that you will give them understanding. And God, remove them out of their comfort zone. Get them out of the place where they're complacent in the name of Jesus. And God, don't let them no longer be idle. Let them go out in the marketplace and preach the gospel of God. And God, as they preach the gospel, I'm asking you to prosper them. As they seek first the kingdom of God, cause influence, cause increase, cause expansion. Change their mindset. Let no sickness or disease touch them, Father. Let them rise above every circumstance or situation. I pray this over them, God. Every person under the sound of my voice, give them wisdom, give them insight, and give them clarity. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release right now. I need everyone right now, wherever you are, just lift up your hands because there's an anointing coming on you now. I decree the wisdom of God. I declare favor. I declare influence. I declare insight. I declare discernment hits your life. I declare that everything you put your hands to will prosper. I declare that books that you will write will become a bestseller. I declare that every place the sole of your foot touched, it will be given to you, says the Spirit of God. I declare in the name of Jesus that when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. I declare your family who are not born again, people that you want, you've been praying for, to come to salvation. I pray the Holy Spirit will begin to deal with them right now. In the name of Jesus, and I release the blessing of the Lord upon every person this night in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. Is anybody on? Come on now. There's some people are here that I need to minister real quick. If you've been blessed by this word and you want to just thank the Lord for the word, unmute yourself or call in, whatever you got to do. Pastor E, you take over from here because the anointing is flowing right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Reba, yes, the lines are open, dial one. Come on in and let's let the truth be transformed in your life right now. The prophet is available. Dial one, you come right in, we'll get you into the line. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Area code 213, last four, 5619. You're live.
Hey, man of God, this is Ro, man. Man. That was right on time. Because, you know, it's, sometimes we don't really know how the kingdom operates. But, you know, I feel the Holy Ghost. But like you said, the Israelites, I just read this a couple of days ago. The Israelites, they got favor from the Egyptians, and they gave them all their stuff, and he bankrupted them because he wanted the altar. So it's about the offering, you know, it's about the offering. And what I'm noticing is when I tithe, my finances are protected. They're always protected. And so it was just a confirmation for me and just knowing, getting a deeper revelation about how this all works and stuff like that. And, yeah, man, I just really appreciate it to know that, you know, his word is the law. You know what I mean? It's word, and that's the only thing that matters and stuff. And, yeah, so, yes, that's all I have to say.
Bless you, man of God. You're about to increase in Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. Anyone else? Come on. Hallelujah.
Don't be shy tonight. Come on, get in the word
don't
tonight.
Be shy.
Man of God,
that's
man
it.
Of God, it was great that you got confirmation. And that's the purpose of being here, that it's not about hearing, it's about receiving and then elevating to your own confirmation that you are motivated to go to the next level. Eric Cole, do I even have to say this code? Pastor Terry, you're live. Come on in.
Good evening, beautiful family, Prophet David, and then Pastor and all the listeners. What a good word, you know. You said the house of prayer, and in his word, he tells us to pray without ceasing. And, you know, you gave a lot of good scriptures here, too, to confirm the word, too. So, but I thank God for you praying with Pastor E, too, and also for sharing about giving. We as believers have to know that giving is to the Lord. When we give it unto the Lord. So, and it comes right from our heart that God within us gives. Amen. But God bless you, and you keep teaching this word because it was a lot here. I was multitasking, but I did write all the scriptures down. Oh, I love what you said, too, about coming into the house. When we come into the church, the house of God, with no respecter of person, everybody is welcome. There's nowhere certain people should see. We're all the same. So praise God for you and him using you tonight. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, woman of God.
God bless you too.
Bless you, Pastor Terry.
Amen. You
now,
too,
now I'm glad Pastor Terry came on that because I wanted to say is that, you know, you prophesied over us. And this is just being, you know me, I'm real and uncut.
Amen. That's right. Come on.
You
man,
didn't
God.
Prophesy. You didn't. No, you didn't prophesy. You confirmed.
That's
we
right.
Walk in the overflow.
Yeah.
We are proof. Come over here. Come over here to the Now Church, California. You will see the product of overflow. and you spoke into existence what's already going on. We are a life of prayer, not a house of prayer, because we are all encouraged to pray unceasingly.
That's right. Amen.
We are all encouraged to pray through all things. We don't make decisions over here at P2P or the Now Church California without prayer. Don't call me. Call Jesus first. Then we pray together in agreement, and we are living just what you said, just what you prophesied. We are the example of walking on God's word and knowing that exceedingly abundantly above all we can think of as is not just happening just for me, but those that are connected to me. Because we know the process of tithing. Tithing is 10% to God. Don't look for nothing back. But your service, your offering, and your giving is where your increase comes from. The man of God even gave us scriptures on that. But we are now in a new covenant. So I want to just confirm that your words were confirmation to us. Pastor Terry started running. I got a text from Minister Frankie. He's in agreement because we're living that. And don't think we just sing the song of the God of Overflow. We worship the God of Overflow. So if you guys are out there listening, you better know tonight that it's available to all of us. All you got to do is work it. Come on, dial one. I hope I inspired somebody to dial one. And come on in. We got a couple more minutes to go forward. The man of God has done great tonight, and we want to just acknowledge him. Now, if you've been blessed tonight, not the Now Network, but Prophet David, if you've been blessed tonight, you're supposed to sow where you grow. If you've given any kind of power or direction and you've grown some, you should sow where you're at. The Now Network is, we doing all right, but we want to sow into the one that is sowing it to us. So if God has grown you tonight, please, prophet, tell your Cash App, tell your Zelle, tell your website, and then also give us an update on all your upcoming events, and then pray us out of here.
Absolutely, man of God. Listen, first of all, I want to get this announcement out. March 28th, Thursday, we have our ministry, Global Ministry Intercession. Like I said, our assignment is prayer, where we teach on intercession. There will be a divine intervention for those who intercede. We're going to be in the city of Long Beach, March 28th at 6 p.m. From 6 to 8, everybody's going to be released. The address is 1553 West Willow Street in the city of Long Beach. Again, the address is 1553 West Willow Street in the city of Long Beach, March 28th at 6 p.m. And I'm telling you, God is going to do some amazing things. If you want to sow into the word, amen, you can Cash App Responding in 2024. $ Responding, R-E-S-P-O-N-D-I-N 2024. Responding in 2024. All the information is on my website, ignitefiretoday.com. ignitefiretoday.com. Also, join us on a conference call March 30th entitled, A Powerful Message the Lord Has Given Me, called When the Prophet Speaks. Again, remember, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of strangers we don't follow. The objective of every prophet, a true prophet, will teach you how to hear God for yourself. The purpose of the prophetic is to get you and I to hear God for yourself. When you have to run to some crusade to hear God speak to a man, no, no, no. God wants to speak directly to you because Jesus says you're his sheep and you know his voice. So you need to declare, Lord, I'm your sheep and I know your voice. And when you start saying you're his sheep and you know his voice, you'll hear his voice. And so again, if you want to sow into the anointing, respond in 2024 or go to our website, ignitefiretoday.com. And also don't forget March 28th, Global Ministry Intercession. We're going to be in the city of Long Beach. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And that address again is 1553 West Willow Street in the city of Long Beach, March 28th at 6 p.m. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless your people as they have received your word tonight. I declare your word will be settled in their spirit, and you will cause this to their mind to be renewed, what you put in their spirit. I thank you for every sower tonight. As they sow, there is a return offer every seed sown. Bless them, increase them, prosper them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I add my faith with them, whatever they're believing. For those that need salvation, healing, we add our faith. For you said, where two or more agree concerning any one thing that they shall ask, it shall be done. And so I thank you for this night. And as I always pray, I declare that Jesus shall be glorified and the devil shall be horrified. And everything that you do, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, people of God, next time we come together, we're going to go further. I'm telling you, we're about to go into deeper waters. So I want you to join us for our next Truth That Transforms. You are going to be truly blessed. Invite someone to get on. And Pastor E, again, I want to thank you, man of God, for this platform, for allowing me the opportunity to minister to God's precious people. I love you, everyone. Have a blessed night. And again, let this word be confirmed. Every time somebody ministers to you, I want you to know it's confirmation, not information. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen.
You died upon the tree. that you set us free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, I'm grateful.
Come on, shout real loud.
We got the victory. Oh, yeah.
I'm thankful.
This is when I throw my hands in the air. And we praise him like we just don't care.
Well,
girl, you're done. Hey, yeah, say it again. This is when we throw our hands in the air. And we praise him like we just don't care. Cause I'm grateful for all you've done.